Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Thursday. Yes, we're loaded. Aaron Jones, Russell Wilson stopping by, Stephon Diggs. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Such a pleasure to be here today. Greg Cosell, 1 hour from now, too. He didn't play, but he has more great stuff on NFL games. He'll break down the Super Bowl, and it is a... It is just a pleasure to be here. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, I had a melatonin last night. I woke up this morning. I was still groggy. I slept 9 hours last night, and I literally was driving to work, and I'm like, did I pass the exit where I go here? Sometimes I'm not into drugs, but I like melatonin. I may have to scale back on that, Joy.
You got to be careful with that stuff during the week. You're loading up on Red Bull. It's Super Bowl week. We got a lot of people to talk to.
We do. Let me start with this new rule on the show. Our new rule on the show. If an athlete is aging, but he's not talking about retirement, then we are not going to talk about his retirement. Drew Brees, he talked about for a couple years his retirement. Brett Favre talked about his retirement forever. Big Ben, 6 years ago, was talking retirement. Philip Rivers talk retirement. So it's fair game. Tom Brady is not only talking retirement. He was asked yesterday a question before a Super Bowl, and he said, you know, I think we're going to be way better next year. Do we have the bite from Tom Brady? This is Tom Brady. When asked about a Super Bowl question, he pivots to next year.
I want to improve and get better. And I think next year is going to be a lot better than this year. You know, I feel like I'll be in a much better place mentally. I'm going to train a lot better this year. Physically, next year I'll be in a better place. So I know as soon as this game ends, we're on the next season.
He's not quitting. Stop talking about it. Stop asking questions. If the player's not talking about it, they have no intention of it. I mean, you've known people in your life, your dad, your grandpa, your dad's friends, their insurance agents. They're like 62. They're over it. They're going to sell their company. You know somebody's worked at a factory for years and they're counting down the clock. And Tom is headed to a Super Bowl, asked a question and pivots to, we're going to be way better next year. I'm not going to talk about his retirement. Listen, it kind of sounds ridiculous, right? They're going to be better next year. Well, there's no question they are. Think about this. Number one, he had a new offense for the first time in 20 years with no training camp. Okay. Leonard Fournette got there right before the season. Antonio Brown got there right in the season. And Tristan Wirfs, with no preseason, was a rookie at right tackle. The schedule's much easier. Remember, they're a wild card team. They don't play a number one schedule. No Kansas City Chiefs, no Green Bay Packers. And they face the NFC East. And add this, every quarterback's better second year in a system. Here's another big break for the Buccaneers. Is that Green Bay and Seattle are two of their big obstacles. We would admit that. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Well, let's talk about Seattle. Oh, Matt Stafford's now in their division twice a year. And Kyler Murray's getting better. Seattle's road is tougher in division. What about Green Bay? Oh, they have a number one schedule. Oh, by the way, they got a bad break. They face the NFC West, so they got to face Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, and the Rams, and they also face the AFC North, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and improving Cincinnati. So it's very likely that Tampa Bay will be a number one seed, and I think certainly this morning all of you would acknowledge they're going to win the division. Carolina's still in a rebuild. Atlanta's kind of in a rebuild. And New Orleans has no Drew Brees, not sure who's going to be quarterback, and way the hell over the cap, so they're going to move pieces. Add the fact that Jason Light, the general manager for the Bucs, unlike Belichick, is a great draft weekend guy. He has hit home run after home run in the draft. Listen, I know all you Brady haters don't want to hear this, but he signed a 2-year deal. and they are a mile ahead of where we thought they would be. They're ahead of the plan. They're one of four rosters in the NFL, maybe three. They don't have a hole. I looked at mock drafts last night on Tampa. Their first pick, it's a defensive lineman. Their defensive line's already amazing. That's just more icing on the carrot cake. It's like they don't need it. They're literally at a surplus of talent at key positions. They don't have a need. They just draft best dude available. And that is a luxury about three teams in the NFL have. Even the Colts' excellent roster, they got to get another receiver. And that's an excellent roster. Even the Chargers' excellent roster, they got to draft a left tackle. Even the Rams' excellent roster, they can use a speed receiver. And I'd go on the defensive line again. So I'm just not going to talk about retiring for players when they don't talk about it. Breeze did, Favre did, Ben does, so I do. Philip Rivers does, so I do. Basketball players, Michael Jordan hinted at it, I will. LeBron's not, Brady's not, I'm not. Okay, so the Deshaun Watson stuff just cracks me up. It just cracks me up. You know, I've said this before. What do we want our athletes to be and what do we want our athletes to do? So now Deshaun Watson, he's got ex-players ripping him. He's got ex-coaches ripping him because he wants out of the dysfunction of Houston. Brett Favre, his latest comment, he gives us about one beauty every two, 3 weeks, a gem a month from Brett. So
I'm kind of old school.
He doesn't like what Deshaun's doing. Let's play the tape. Do we have that?
Old school, I think you play, you get paid a ton of money to do a certain job and just do it and let the chips fall where they may. I think we make too much money to voice an opinion, but I'm not saying he's wrong. I think it's a different day and time, and it'll be interesting to see how the organization handles it.
Yeah, the difference, of course, is that at the end of Brett Favre's career in Green Bay, he was the only unstable thing. The team was stable. The players were stable. The roster was stable. Favre was the unstable part of it. He didn't want to learn a new offense. He got increasingly needy. He didn't help Aaron Rodgers grow. He threatened retirement. He didn't want to go to training camp. Favre was the unstable part of the Packers. Deshaun's the opposite. He's the only stable part of the dysfunctional Texans. So Brett Favre's opinion on this is nonsense. And this is not to pick on Brett Favre. Brett was the needy part of Green Bay at the end. Deshaun's the only thing not needy in Houston. But let me ask this question again. What do you want the athletes to do? So Matt Stafford says, get me out of Detroit after years of 5-11 and 6-10 and getting the hell beat out of him. And he goes to the Rams, and none of you say a peep. You congratulate Matt Stafford. You're happy for him. So do you want Deshaun Watson? What you're telling me is you want Deshaun, because they were awful this year, 4-12. You want him to have about six more of these, get the hell beat out of him, then go somewhere, and you're going to be like, that's how you do it. Maybe Deshaun, because he was in the same division as Andrew Luck, thinks to himself, Andrew Luck kept quiet. Andrew Luck always said the right thing. Andrew Luck was a nice guy. Andrew Luck had the support. But Andrew Luck had to retire. We watched a guy let the organization trample him and always take the nice way out. He's out of football, Andrew Luck. He's out of football. We watched Matt Stafford be a team guy and a nice guy and never threaten to leave. And he was irrelevant for the last decade as an unbelievable talent, according to most scouts. Eli Manning said, I'm not going to the Chargers. And he didn't get pushback. What do you want Deshaun Watson to do? You want him to be Andrew Luck and out of the sport? You want him to be Matt Stafford and irrelevant for 30 years or 20 years or 10 years? Is that what you're looking for? Don't we want star quarterbacks to have a good coach and a good team like Mahomes? You do get if Mahomes was in Jacksonville, this would not be what Mahomes looks like. You do get that Andy Reid, Brett Veach, the GM, the Hunt family, the offense. You do get, as much as I like Mahomes, it's helped a lot to escalate, to elevate the journey, to expedite it, to, you know, no roadblocks, no stumbling, park the Mercedes, here's the keys. We want more Mahomes. We want less Stafford. We want less Andrew Luck. Dick Vermeil's ripping him. He should just be quiet. And, you know, just here's the contract. And what are you talking about? I ask this all the time. What do you want athletes to do? Did you want LeBron James to stay in Cleveland after 7 years and they couldn't get him an all-star? You didn't watch the Miami stuff? You didn't watch the Lakers? You didn't watch the Kyrie LeBron in Cleveland? We would have none of that if it was up to a lot of GMs and former quarterbacks. You just take a job, stay there with crappy coaches, bad owners, lousy GMs, and just deal with it. I wouldn't. Why do you think I've changed jobs? I wouldn't. Why should an athlete? I have a 35-year career. They get 10. But Deshaun has looked in division at Andrew Luck be the nice guy, and it ended his career. He watched Matt Stafford be the nice guy and become irrelevant for over a decade. He's like, give him credit for being observant. I don't want any part of that. And he didn't do what Eli did, which is, I'm not going there. So now he's trapped in a terrible marriage. Anybody in a terrible marriage should have the right to get out of it. All right. God, Brady. Leading another show with Brady. I got at least two or three more Brady leads the show before football season's over. Rudy Gobert, who's an underrated NBA player, sticks up for LeBron. And there's a point about LeBron that we all need to... Joy and I have talked about this during the pandemic and during the crazy election. There's increasingly a percentage of the country I'm just not going to listen to, and I'll discuss that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Little Things last night. That movie's getting a lot of criticism.
The new Denzel movie?
It's fine. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's a fine. It's a good movie. I sat there for 2 hours, watched it. I thought it was kind of interesting. I thought it was interesting.
It seems like a movie that's in your wheelhouse. I'm going to watch it. I haven't had a second.
Yeah,
to,
the acting's amazing. Everybody's great. But Rami Malek, I cannot take my eyes off him. The way he talks, his eyes, he's angular. Everything about him, I can't take my... You could turn the sound down and just watch Rami Malek. His mouth.
He's like someone who was meant to be on screen.
I can't take my eyes off him. And like I said yesterday on Twitter, I'm like, this guy, I can't... Everybody's like, oh, he's not as good as Denzel. It's not as good an argument. He's fascinating.
He was amazing in Queen.
He was unbelievable. I don't remember an actor that has entered...
Bohemian Rhapsody, not Queen. Queen, the movie about
that,
Queen.
That has fascinated me as much as him in 20 years. I'm fascinated by him. His angular... The way he talks. Everything is just different.
He's very compelling.
He's from
yes.
the Valley. He's from out
really?
Here. He's from out here in the Valley. So Rudy Gobert is a really good player for the Utah Jazz. Actually, probably the most underrated player in the league. He's a great player, great defensive player. He's tall. He's the ultimate rim stopper in the NBA, he and Giannis. And he was talking about LeBron James. And he said, listen, I don't let criticism get to me. He said, LeBron James is the most criticized player of our generation, and look what he's accomplished. And so he's saying, listen, if you can criticize LeBron James, of course people are going to criticize me. And it's funny about that because, you know, I've come to a point and over the last 6 months, I have changed. Over the last 6 months, 50 million Americans thought COVID was a hoax and 50 million Americans thought we had widespread voter fraud. I'm not going to argue with those people. There's a quarter of the country to a fifth of the country. I'm not interested in your opinion. Argue amongst yourselves. There was not widespread voter fraud. There's no hoax. I have a friend now, a dear friend, struggling with COVID. I'm not interested arguing with you on social media. Talk amongst yourselves. If you don't get LeBron at this point, I'm not interested in your opinion. He's the best player. He's the most mature. He's the most mentally strong. He elevates everything. Michael Jordan couldn't win games with a second franchise. LeBron's winning titles with a third. He's more philanthropic than Michael. He's a better ball handler than Michael. He's a better passer than Michael. He's physically stronger than Michael. He's lasted longer than Michael. You can argue about who's better, but if you don't get him, I'm not interested. I mean, you got people that in America that think it was a hoax. My thing is, go ahead, think that. I'm not going to argue. Argue amongst your idiot friends. I'm not interested in it. And it's like, if you want to beat up LeBron for the decision, it was 10 or 11 years ago. Live through the rearview mirror. If you want to beat him up for his comments about China, folks, it's a $2 billion business in China for the NBA. GMs got in trouble. The commissioner got in trouble. Coaches got in trouble. Everybody was walking on eggshells. LeBron doesn't think China's better than us. You want to nitpick? Here's what I find tedious. Arguing with people not worth arguing with and nitpicking superstars. I find it tedious. If you don't get LeBron and what he's done, argue amongst yourselves. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
We're calling China.
Of all his accomplishments, that sentence is really everything. Okay. And by the way, go be miserable on your own time. Just don't take up my space. If you want to yell and scream about that, go be miserable.
Well, we don't see it anymore because we have the quality filter on. So
yeah, I don't, but
you're
it's
literally
like,
yelling at clouds.
Go ahead, yell at yourself, yell at clouds, yell at your friends. If you see his career defined by a press conference where he gave a $1 million check to a Boys and Girls Club and a comment over China where even the commissioner got in trouble, everybody was walking on eggshells, then knock yourself out. But it's like the hoax people. It's like the voter fraud people. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in engaging with you.
No, I told
Leave
you
me
that.
Out of it.
I've also stopped arguing with those people. The Eagles are headed towards a quarterback competition between Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts next season. But Wentz is not interested in that. He would reportedly prefer to start fresh with another team in 2021. However, the Eagles are not looking to trade him right now. Teams have begun calling about Wentz. And Philly is listening, but they will not move unless they get the right offer. Apparently, they want a first-round pick, which I don't know what team wouldn't offer a first-round pick for Carson Wentz.
You get one, sure.
I would imagine you would get more than a first-round pick for Carson Wentz.
How about Carson Wentz just saying this? Listen, the minute you drafted Jalen Hurts and he looks pretty good, you got a quarterback, so let me go. I mean, if Jalen Hurts wasn't there, then you could be like, okay, I got a new coach. But in the end, among the other things, you drafted a quarterback. He played. He was pretty good.
And you benched me.
Yeah. So, like, I'm out. I get it.
I don't get what's going on in Philadelphia. Maybe I'm missing it. I'm not seeing the forest through the trees here.
Have you ever had somebody in your life that you thought was really upstanding and ethical, and then in one instant you're like, oh, they're awful?
Yeah.
You've had that.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, for the last 7 years, I've been protecting them. I think they're well run. And in the last month and a half, I'm like, oh, they're a complete tire fire. My bad.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I think
Doug Peterson deserves a lot of credit for that because it seems like he was great makeup for what was going on there. He held it together.
After you read the stories on Lurie and Howie Roseman, I got nothing against him, but I had no idea it was this maze of power struggles.
I mean, I'm not saying he was perfect, but as soon as they fired him, it was like everything just started to unravel. And now you have a quarterback controversy or a quarterback competition, whatever you want to call it. This is a bad situation. Now, this getting out, again, why does something get out?
Somebody wants it out.
Wentz doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
You have Jalen Hurts. You benched Carson Wentz for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts isn't going anywhere. I just think it's a disaster of the situation. I don't know why they wouldn't. Obviously, you want to get fair value or, you know, you're not going to get exact value, but you have Jalen Hurts, develop him, let Carson Wentz start fresh somewhere else. By the way, he has a $34.7 million cap hit next season, which is fifth highest amongst quarterbacks. He's missed 13 games to injury. It might not be the worst situation to just move on. You have a new head coach, start fresh. Especially if he's talking about getting traded. So Patrick Mahomes is already being compared to Tom Brady and has a lot of pressure on him to win this Super Bowl in order to keep pace with Brady's career, but Mahomes is only focusing on the game, not what this would mean for his legacy.
You have to kind of focus on, for me, I'm trying to find a way to repeat, find a way to win a second championship, and find a way to do whatever I can to win with this team. But you don't get these opportunities every single year in the NFL to be in the Super Bowl and to be in these games. And then once the end of your career is done, then you can look at those things and see kind of where those moments were in your career where you could have had something or that you executed and you did go out there and get and achieve your dreams.
You know, there was a lot of conversation about how the Chiefs were going to keep this level of excellence that they had last year. Philadelphia is a good example of this because we talked a lot about how Philadelphia acted after they won their Super Bowl, right? That we weren't really sure that that was the right approach. And it turns out it wasn't because they were making fun of, you know, the Patriot way. And, you know, you can win multiple championships the fun way. Like, yeah, can you? Because you guys are not going to be back there for a very long time. But the Chiefs, and I do think that maybe we'll never know, obviously, but like maybe the pandemic played a role in this because you didn't have that like layover. Like as soon as the Super Bowl was over, essentially we locked down in March. So you didn't have that like summer to go have fun and celebrate. Like it was just like, okay, like now we're locked down again. Maybe that ended up being a blessing in disguise. I think that the Chiefs were going to unravel, but it's an added extra focus.
No, I think it's... Listen, you and I have talked about this, whereas you're single and I got a bunch of kids and stuff, and we've lived different lives that way. But the pandemic, for me, made our family closer.
Right.
So, and for you, you've had some life alterations in it, many you've laughed about. But the pandemic landed differently for different people. And I think the argument can be made for a young, talented team. It kept you at home and out of bars and restaurants.
Yeah. There's nothing else to do but work out.
So to work out.
Right. And
like it didn't matter for Brady because that's all he does anyway.
Right. And I'm not saying that they would have unraveled, but, you know, them being back there this year and having the year that everybody had, it may have played a role in that because they are not loose in any way. But to your point, they're young. This is not Brady. This isn't the Patriots with
their
system.
They're flashy. They're fun.
But they, you know, they deserve credit. And to Mahomes' point, focus on this game. Don't worry about legacy. Don't worry about what it means if you win this game. Don't look ahead in any way. So the Rams continue to be aggressive this offseason by trading Jared Goff to the Lions for Matthew Stafford. There's been a lot of rumors that the Rams were unhappy with Goff's recent performance.
Rams were shocked. Interesting.
And Aaron Donald says the team was still surprised by the move.
I'm pretty sure everybody was shocked with it, but, you know, Stafford's a great quarterback. I'm excited about having him with the team, a veteran guy that know the game, have been playing the game at a high level for a long time, you know. It was a business decision that the Rams organization chose to make. You know, I will always love Goff. You know, that's my brother forever. But, you know, I guess things didn't work out how they wanted to, so they made a change.
I find it surprising that the team was shocked that he was traded. You would imagine if it was at this point that there was some kind of rumblings or doubt if he's the guy. So, and especially, I mean, that's Aaron Donald.
Well, but I would say this. I'll back the Rams. If you're going to make this move, you're probably better to make it covert. You don't want players talking about it. You're probably better make the move. It appears to be an upgrade. Players can't. I mean, listen, again, COVID, we're all sitting around. Last thing you want is that thing to get out for 6 days and players start defending Goff.
Right.
And this was like, Jared's gone. Oh, we get Stafford. Okay, I'm good. There's been no controversy around it.
No, I agree. I like the way that they handled it and that they're not, you know, bashing Goff on the way out.
Remember when Peyton Manning went to Denver? This is really interesting, Joy. So Tebow was wildly popular there. We knew he wasn't any good, but he was wildly popular. Elway went and got the one guy on the market you could get.
And everyone would be quiet about it.
Literally, Joy. They got Peyton, and it was like, well, yeah, obviously. And so Stafford, similarly, it's like, well, yeah, he's better. So
he's not Peyton Manning, but
no.
It's not like they're making a trade, and then now they're talking about moving up in the draft.
It's an upgrade.
Like, yes, and it's an aggressive move. I like the way that they've handled it. It's not normal. Like, to your point, we usually hear rumors about it. We're talking about Carson Wentz. Like, we're talking about Deshaun Watson for long periods of time. Even Matthew Stafford, we knew was going to be on the market for a while. Yeah. We've been talking about it for a week, so I like the way they do business.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So I saw a story yesterday. NFL merchandise came out. Brady's number one in the NFL. So Tampa's the number one market for him selling merchandise. Like Boston's number two or three. New York's up there. Orlando, Miami. So Tom is still selling a lot of merch up in Boston, his old stomping ground. And he still has nice things to say. Yesterday he was talking about the Patriots and what a good time it was. And here's Tom Brady talking about his past, and it just has such warm feelings about it.
Obviously, anytime you change teams, you don't know how it's going to go. But I think there's been incredible support that I've had from, you know, all the, you know, the team I used to play for, all the New England fans. And, you know, I still obviously have a great affection for New England. And, you know, I said the other day, my kids were born in Boston. So, I mean, I have a lot of love for Boston and all of New England and the incredible support over the years. You know, again, it was an amazing two decades of my life.
Am I the only person, and maybe I am, but the Patriots now with Brady feels like a long time ago. They're irrelevant. I mean, Tom's going to be the only guy that gets two statues, one in New England, one in Tampa. They're irrelevant. They're so bad and Tom's so good, they don't matter. And remember this, and we kind of predicted this. We said, in Boston, the Patriots aren't the Celtics or the Red Sox. They're not even the Bruins. Those teams, Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, the Red Sox history, the Celtics, Bill Russell, those teams were dominant in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Even if the Red Sox weren't winning titles, they were such a part of the sport. I mean, I'm a kid that grew up in Seattle. In the 70s, here comes Freddie Lynn and Jim Rice and Louis Tiant and Carlton Fisk. Like, the Red Sox were a draw then. In the 80s, they were better than the Yankees. That's never been the Patriots. The Patriots were a mess forever. The stadium was a mess. Didn't make any money. Miami, you know, was the team on the coast, or it was Pittsburgh, or it was the Giants. I mean, they were a mess forever before Tom Brady. Parcells was good for about 45 minutes, but he left. Pete Carroll came in. That didn't work. That's why they've never had any sustained success without Brady. Hell, Belichick couldn't win the year before Tom started, and he couldn't win the year after he left. I just don't think New England ever understood in the moment how much of this, how transformative Tom was as a personality. Do you know there are 123 professional sports franchises in America? Tampa Bay had the worst winning percentage of all of them, and they're in the Super Bowl. The Patriots are just not a relevant franchise. They never were. The Celtics, even in down years, you can feel them lurking. When the Red Sox are down this past year, they're rebuilding, they'll be back. The Bruins have always been good on analytics. They're always around the playoffs. They feel relevant. New England was a mess. They had a messy stadium deal. They almost went to Hartford. They were quirky. They were weird. They had that Razor guy owned them for a while. Remember that Remington guy or something? Just a mess. And then Parcells said, get me out of here. And Pete Carroll couldn't work. And I just don't think, I think New England never understood, not that they understood Tom was great, but when you're not historically relevant and then you suddenly get relevant, you can talk yourself into, we something here. We good. We special. New England's not. Patriots aren't. We're not. My whole life, when I was a kid, never talked about the Patriots. When I was a young kid, when I was in starting to love football, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, it was Steelers, Raiders, Miami Dolphins. And then as I got older in high school and stuff, oh, the Broncos started getting good. The Steelers were still good. Yeah, 49ers were getting good. Oh, and I got a little older in my 20s, 30s. Oh, here come the Cowboys with Jimmy Johnson. And the Niners are good again. Giants, oh, watch out with the Giants, Parcells. And then, you know, we've segued. There was never a moment before Brady took over the starting job where the Patriots were a national team. Ever. I mean, Packers were invisible for 25 years until they got Brett Favre. What do you think the Patriots were? So it is, it's the only game 1 year removed, the only national TV game this year New England will be invited to is the one where they host Tom Brady. He'll be on 10 of them. They'll be on one, the one Tommy comes back to beat Belichick. Aaron Jones of the Packers. He's a free agent, by the way. He's going to be on the market. Joins us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, we've said this. After about the 10th pick in the NBA draft, it always feels like you're kind of out of players. In the NFL, half the league was undrafted. Aaron Jones wasn't drafted until the fifth round. You thought Tom Brady was overlooked. The last 2 years, he scored 35 touchdowns. 35 touchdowns in 2 years. I don't play fantasy football, but if you do, get him on your team.
Yeah, he's important.
He and Derrick Henry, get him on your team. He is a free agent officially, and Aaron Jones is joining us live, brought to you by Old Spice, Old Spice Dynasty. By the way, when you were sitting there, and all these running backs are getting drafted ahead of you, and you were great at UTEP as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, and you're sitting there thinking, I've faced some of these guys. Did it? Were you a little bitter on draft day?
Definitely. I mean, you know, and I went to the combine as well, and I felt like I had performed well there.
Yeah.
Outperformed some of the guys that was taken before me, but you know, you just kind of use that as fuel to the fire. You know, you were already underrated at college, so you don't have the name coming out as some of those guys do. So you just continue to put your head down, work, and meet them at the top.
Yeah, I love stories like yours. Now, you're a free agent, and it's weird. Green Bay would rather keep you, obviously. But you know what it is. It's a salary cap. It's not like baseball where there's no salary cap. There's a cap, and Aaron makes a lot of money, and Devontae's going to make a lot of money. And it's not a matter of they don't like you. It's like, okay, how many of our stars can we keep? If the Packers decided, okay, we got to move off Aaron, how would it land for you? Would you be hurt? How would you feel about that?
I would understand, you know, it's a business. So I would understand that and, you know, thank them for giving me the opportunity. And then just go back to work and be ready to play wherever that may be. I've learned a lot from a lot of the guys in the locker room. I've got to play along some of the best players in the league, but not only the best players in the league, but better men off the field. So I think that's special and that's important. And I thank them for that.
What's your relationship like with Aaron Rodgers? He seems to love you. He trusts you. What's it like? What was it like the first day you showed up?
You know, it was like, wow, this is Aaron Rodgers. I'm in the same locker room as him. But it was a lot of fun. You know, he's helped me become the player that I am today. You know, just helping me develop as a receiver, even on just different plays, like in protection, you know, just studying different things like that. And so it's the things behind the scenes that nobody gets to see where he helps you out. And like I said, I can't thank him enough for helping me become the player that I am.
Listen, it stinks to lose a playoff game, but it happens. It's a reality of it. You're playing good teams. I mean, Drew Brees lost. Big Ben lost. It happens. I mean, Lamar Jackson's lost. A couple years ago, Mahomes lost in New England. It happens. You lose. With your loss, there was some controversy about you guys didn't go for it late in the game with a couple minutes left. And, it's a play call. It happens. Were you, though, as a player, a little bit surprised because you're kind of known as an offensive team more than a defensive team? Were you sitting there thinking, wow, okay, all right, we're going to go for a field goal? Were you surprised at all?
I was surprised. You know, all season we had went for it on fourth down once we got probably past a plus 35 or plus 40. But I don't disagree with the call because it gave us a chance to stay in the game and gave us a chance to win and just put on our defense. But But at the end of the day, no, I don't disagree with the call, but I was a little surprised.
Okay, when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, Aaron was honest about it. It's kind of fuel to the fire. It's like, you think I'm done? I'm going to show you I'm not done. The Packers went out in the second round, and they drafted a running back, A.J. Dillon. Was a little bit of you thinking, oh, you're going to move off me already. Oh, you got to bring another running back in second round. Did you at least think about that?
Not so much move off of me right then, but for the future, maybe. And it was caught by surprise a little bit, you know, after the year I had just had. I didn't think we were going to draft a running back in the second round. But at the same time, AJ didn't control where he went or where he got drafted. So that's my little brother. I'm glad that he got the chance to work with him, and probably – you know, he's going to be a great player.
Listen, you played college at El Paso, which is not a huge town. You play in Green Bay in the NFL. Be honest with me. Was it a little culture shock when you went to Green Bay? I mean, it's small. There's one hotel the players stay at. The stadium's right in the middle of a neighborhood. What's it like to live in Green Bay as a pro athlete?
I wasn't in culture shock. You know, my parents are military, so I moved around a lot as a child and got to experienced that, so I know how to adapt to different things quickly. But it is a small town. It helps you focus, though, and you're there for football. That's your job, so it does help in that sense. And then the Packer fans, it's like a religion there, and I love it. I mean, you know, they're tailgating. It's like I say, it's the closest you'll get to a college football atmosphere, but on steroids in a way. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Hey, listen, if the Packers move off you, and they don't want to, we all know that they want to keep you, but that may be a financial decision. That's why they, as you said, draft AJ Dillon. It's just the way the NFL works. If you had to go somewhere, is there a style, a team, an environment? I mean, you're a pro athlete. Tom Brady looked around and said, oh, I like Tampa. They got a bunch of good receivers. You'd probably want to go to a team with a good offensive line. Is there a part of the country you'd want to go, a team or an offense you'd like?
No, I haven't really thought about that. You know, just the season just ended, so I took a step back and decompressed, but really haven't thought about that. But I do play for Team Old Spice.
There you go. Old Spice. Get it up there. Team Old Spice. Well, good luck to you. You had a great year. 35 touchdowns in the last 2 years. You got injured on that fumble. How are you physically this morning? How are you?
I'm doing a lot better. You know, still a little sore, but getting through it, you know, just let my body heal back up and then going to get back to work, you know, but I'm all right. I'll be good. Just going to add fuel to the fire and make me hungry, and I'll be back 10 times better. So I'm excited for next year. And it's going to be a good one.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you coming on the show. Aaron Jones, Green Bay Packers. Put him on your fantasy team. Old Spice, 35 touchdowns in 2 years. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. So I saw this. So yesterday was one of those recruiting days, and I don't talk about recruiting because most people don't care about it. I love it. I sat there on websites all day yesterday. So Alabama, highest rated college football recruiting class of all time. So I have decided that 2021 is the year of the old guy. 43-year-old Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. 68-year-old Bruce Arians coaching against 62-year-old Andy Reid. Nick Saban, 69. He just had the best team he's ever had and the best recruiting class ever. LeBron is 36. NBA years, that's like 55 for us. Best player, best team easily. The Beatles were the number one selling rock band in America last year. And Joe Biden is the oldest president ever elected. None of them are new, none of them are cool, none of them are lit, none of them are fresh. But never forget that longevity is part of great, and sustained success is part of great. The Bachelor is in its 25th season. Survivor is in season 40. They are two of the top shows. Everybody's trying to be new and hip and cool and lit, and it's the year of the old guy. What makes great isn't a moment. What makes great isn't a game. What makes great isn't a season. What makes great habits. Do you have winning, successful habits? Do you get up early? Do you under-promise? Do you over-deliver? Are you focused? Are you committed? Do you take care of your mind? Do you take care of your body? Everybody's trying to tell me how cool they are. Cool doesn't last because there's something cooler every 15 minutes. Traits last. And Nick Saban's got a lot of winning traits. 69, had his best team ever, had the best recruiting class ever. He's almost 70. It's insane. Cremo Barber Grade Products, designed to soothe and relieve that beard itch. I use it every morning. Amazon has it. So does CremoCompany.com, C-R-E-M-O. Their stuff is really good. Greg Cosell, breaking down the Super Bowl next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.